everybody. Welcome to Hammer Down on the Market Scale Network. I'm your host, Mike Bush, and today I am joined by Julius Resnick, who is the COO of Semantic Visions, and I'm so excited about Julius as a guest. Let's get right into it. Julius, thank you for joining me today.
Hello, everyone. How you doing?
So let's get into it, man. What exactly is Semantic Visions?
Semantic Visions is a very small company in Central Europe, Prague, Czech Republic. Super exciting place to be. We are very high technology, and we are experts in recognizing what's going on in the world, mapping it to the stuff that the industries and the businesses are interested in, and delivering that as very nice, calm, structured data.
Okay. Now, when you say that, so that definition, I kind of heard you as almost a Palantir-like company saying, "Hey, we're capturing data across the world to understand what's happening." Let's go a little deeper. Where are you looking for information? What are the clues you're finding?
What we do, we collect information from openly available sources. So basically, we have a crawler. We're by no means as vast as any other super large crawlers, but we do have our server farm. We crawl information from around the world, and we make sense of it. And we especially focus on what we call entities of interest. So basically, if your company is interested, if your business is interested into monitoring your supply chain, we are then the experts to detecting what's going on with your supply chain. If you're interested in your credit portfolio, we are experts in discovering what's going on with that credit portfolio. We crawl the internet. We have our own server farm. It's quite large for our size. We have an extensive operation. We crawl meaningful content that is important for businesses. We're experts in recognizing entities of interest. So if you're interested in a supply chain portfolio and what's going on with that, that is what we do. If you're interested in monitoring a credit portfolio, we are experts in recognizing that and the events that influence it, and that is what we do. Or if you're interested in detecting your supply chain multi-tiers, we can do that as well. And recently, we also deliver training data to hedge fund and other trading fund companies.
Okay, there are so many cool applications you touched on, but I'm going to limit it to supply chain because that's what the show is about, right? So if I've got it right, basically, let's say I'm a company, I'm an electronics manufacturer, which means I've probably got various components of what I'm going to, of the laptop or the tablet I'm going to build coming from maybe 4 or 6 or 8 different countries. I would rely on you to basically say, okay, one, is there anything crazy happening in those countries? And by crazy, I mean, is a missile struck? Is there geopolitical strife? Is there an earthquake? Is there a natural disaster? And those things that could, of course, affect my supply chain and my access to the components I need. And then you're basically creating an early warning system so that I know rapidly and almost in real time that I'm going to have this disruption, and I can start to operate or start to plan around the issue, as opposed to getting a phone call 3 days after or a day after an earthquake to say, "Hey, we got nothing." Is that kind of the early warning system the way I should be thinking about this?
Absolutely. So here's how it works. We sit down with our clients and we do an onboarding of whatever they're interested in. So if they're interested in a supply chain defined by a watch list of companies, of suppliers that they would like to monitor, and a watch list of commodities or geolocations, or for that matter, also industries, for example, or anything that could have a trend on the internet that you are interested as a topic and influences your business. That is what we put together. And we make sure we recognize it properly. When I say recognize it properly, we really make sure that we do a good job understanding which bridge we're talking about, right? Or we make sure we understand properly which particular supplier we're talking about. And not all suppliers in the world are actually large companies well recognized. So we need to know if that little company over there in, say, California is or is not the same one as another one somewhere in Europe or South Africa. That is what we also do. And not only recognizing the entities that you would like to monitor or the locations, but we also recognize properly what's going on with them. So we do recognize if there is someone, I'm sorry, jumping off the bridge, I hope it will not, but if there's somebody jumping off the bridge and nothing happened and there's no impact, or if that unfortunate incident happened years ago and people are only remembering it and saying, oh, that is what happened years ago, so there is no immediate impact, or if it's something really large. We recognize if there's a forest fire, which has a huge impact on your business, or if there's a small minor fire that happened when somebody was ironing their shirt in a hotel, which is a big difference. Those are the two main components. We understand who is affected and by what they are affected.
That's amazing, man. How did you get into this? How long have you been doing this? I'm like, walk me through your path to get to, you know, getting to the start of 2025 right now.
All right. My personal path started back at the end of the previous century, of the last century. my path started on a project funded by the U.S. State Department. Back then, when we were trying to expand NATO and we were trying to expand European Union, and I was a part of consulting that was helping the countries in Central Europe to actually meet the requirements. That was really super exciting. And my specific focus was on technology, natural language processing, and specifically on understanding how to work with organization structures and how to work with supply chains. Next, I actually went into natural language processing and data collection company. And then I had experience with putting all this into data warehouse. A part of my experience also includes large corporation, one of the big fours, which was really great experience. It showed me how to do things right and wrong, easy way and complicated way. And I joined Semantic Visions 2.5 years ago, which was actually my second term with Semantic Visions. I had been working with Semantic Visions before. And then I returned back to give it a fresh kick. And we started developing using brand new, super latest cutting edge technologies. Semantic Visions as a company started in 2011, and over the years learned all the capabilities that I described. So Semantic Visions built a server farm to collect information, a super capability to recognize entities. And this is not really entity recognition as you talk about it today using large language models, which sounds easy today, but it's really recognizing the proper thing that you're interested in. That's very important to understand the client and to give them what they want rather than technically recognize something. And then the last one, we understand events. We understand what's going on. So the path over here, me starting in consulting, understanding and learning about natural language processing through data collection and then intersecting with Semantic Visions, who collects data and basically understands things and presents it in an organized manner to the client as a very nice added value data.
Got it. Okay, amazing. So Julius, when I think of natural language processing as based on the timeline, so this probably isn't 100% the right way to think of things, but based on the timeline you shared, so I think natural language processing, we teach machines to understand what we're saying, which then of course leads to like LLMs and where we are today with more sort of this, the ChatGPT, the Google Gemini, et cetera. Given your experience, you know, over the past 20 years or 25 years, where are we going? What are the next 5 years hold for AI, for technology, for uses? Very, you know, generically speaking, but also in supply chain, what's the next big thing? What's the next surprise supply chain pros should you know, one should wake up one day under their Christmas tree and say, I can't believe this is here.
I'm not sure if I can give you a big surprise. However, I truly believe that AI is a strong enabler. I believe for us, it's like this super complex, powerful tool that those that are learning and training how to harness it will actually have life much easier in their jobs, in their businesses. I believe that it's still a great advantage to have your own set of data, as we have, so that we can in turn use this super tool, the generative AI tool. And please don't get me wrong, I don't really mean it in simple words as a tool. I really, really respect it very deeply as a capability, not just as a tool. But I think that to humans, it is still an enabler. It's not something that will take over. It's something that will elevate us to the next level and will make us possible. It will make for us, open for us the possibilities that we probably didn't dream about. It will make for us the difference to actually support businesses in detecting and predicting supply chains, in detecting the deeper layers, the deeper tiers of supply chain, in possibly understanding the patterns in one part of your supply chain, and then taking it over and superimposing it to another part, seeing what happened in the past and what's going to happen in the future. This is not simple predictive technology. This is something like understanding the experience from the past and actually using it for the future as if you were a person. I think that is something that lays ahead of us.
So we're talking not predictive, but we're talking prescriptive. Is that the easy way?
Well, I believe that data science will shift to true experience-based predictive. It will be a lot more available to less technical people. It will be a lot more available to people who have communication skills and not necessarily technical skills. And I think both kinds of analytics capabilities will spread a lot more and will give a lot of added value to the businesses by enabling personnel to democratically use it regardless of their technical background and capabilities.
Got it. Julius, one of my favorite questions to ask guests, and I can't wait for your answer truly, is if you're talking to a newer recent grad and they say, I'm thinking about supply chain as a career, what would be the piece of advice you would give that kid?
Excellent question. Thank you. And actually, I have been talking to graduates because every summer at Semantic Visions, we have interns that come and help us. And actually, Mike, you'll be surprised, but our latest 6 or 7 interns came from California and even directly from LA.
Amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's you have some super cool people there, reliable, and people that are very independent in their thought and driving forward. I really love it. And to those people, I would recommend to specifically, and please, you're going to laugh, but I would really recommend them to have the ability to read and understand a lot. This is my advice to everyone, because people are not going to stop being those that actually drive things forward. And those individuals that have a capability to consume large amounts of information and synthesize it in their heads, and then think about it, on top of that, use the AI capability to accelerate their work, these individuals will probably do the best. And I would recommend that also to those that would like to be active in supply chain. Second thing that I would like to recommend them is to really understand the supply chain. You're going to laugh, but that means understand how it works, understand the scope, the size, the complexity, the tiers, and the sheer size. Basically, there isn't a simple supply chain in the world these days. All the supply chains are very, very complex and very interlinked. So those with technical focus, I would truly recommend to study graph technology, to have a good grasp and understanding of the future relationships and working of a supply chain.
Julius, if somebody wants to get in touch to learn more, apply for an internship, you know, become a customer, what's the best way to do so?
My name is Julius Rusnak. You can find me on LinkedIn with Semantic Visions, or please go to our website, semantic-visions.com, and fill in our contact form, and we will definitely get back to you. We really like young people to go and work with us, either as an intern or as a new full employee colleague.
So Julius, it wouldn't be a discussion about supply chain without talking about sustainability, about talking ESG. And I understand that you have quite the play when it comes to that as well. Is that fair?
Absolutely. Thank you very much for that question. First, I would like to thank to our 2023 interns for actually helping us develop our ESG index. That was an excellent job, and there's always potentially young people. Next, I've studied ESG data extensively. Up until very recently, there's been a lot of talking about ESG, but unfortunately only talking. There was a lot of positive and positive news and events and impacts because everybody is trying to influence what's being said by very positive public relations. Companies are doing this very well. When you look at the data, when you look at the index, everything seems to be very positive, very nice. However, the future will show whether this is the truth. We are not there yet. I believe 2004-05 will show the actual actions. It will show whether the companies can live up to their, probably not expectations, but their claims to live up to what they said that they are actually doing. And I really hope that that will happen. So ESG is becoming more and more important, and it will be no more words, it will be actions in the future.
Such a great point. So look, I in my day job, I work for a trucking company, and we're focused very much on zero emission trucking. And it's so funny, you know, we'll have conversations where a company has said, I'm going to be carbon neutral by 2040. And when you ask, great, what steps have you taken? They've said, well, we realized in 16 years, we hope everybody forgets what we said 16 years ago. It's very, very strange. You know, are there companies, Julius, that look thinking ESG are really standouts? Is there anybody, which companies on the sustainability, on the environmental support, on the carbon emission reduction initiatives, who should we be looking up to? Who's kind of the flag bearer?
Oh, Mike, you know, I would probably rather take a defensive, politically correct response here and not comment on that. And let me tell you why. I will tell you why. Whatever company you look at, if you break it into E, S, and G, into environment, sustainability, and governance, basically, no matter which company I looked at, and, you know, it were not millions, it were dozens, which is quite sufficient. Whichever company I looked at, after you break it into the components, there's always red flags somewhere. So if a company is very nice in approaching the environment, you would find stains on them in the governance, which is a sad thing, right? And vice versa, or, you know, the sustainability and the environment go hand in hand, and the governance is stained by something bad. So basically, anyone I looked at in our research and when creating our index has potential to improve. And I really hope that the following years will show us that the companies are actually putting that into reality.
Gotcha. So if I paraphrase that positively, long story short is there's a lot of companies doing good, but everybody has room for improvement.
That is correct. Thank you.
Perfect. He's Julius Resnick. Thank you so much for being on Hammer Down, my friend. It was a pleasure. Happy New Year, everybody. We'll be talking to you soon.